So we're here together now for our final session here. So before we open the floor up for your comments and your questions, I wanted to just do a quick sort of a summary about what we've been doing today and our different practices we covered now that we're coming to the end of our day today. And we've covered a lot of ground with all of these four Brahma Viharas, metta, compassion, appreciative and sympathetic joy, and equanimity, and with a variety of different kinds of beings, you know, ourselves, those close to us, those that are more neutral and difficult. So there's been a lot of stuff to work on. And I'm kind of curious, just wondering how many of you actually already have an established metta practice or Brahma Vihara practice? A couple of you, yeah. And some probably have heard of it, but it's not a big part of your everyday practice. So one thing about these Brahma Viharas, there's a variety of ways to practice them. And doing what we did today, a more formal practice where you actually sit down and work with the different categories and the phrases, this is one way to practice, and it's a great way to practice. And if you feel like it resonates for you or something you've already been doing, to spend, you know, some days when you do your daily practice doing metta or doing compassion or something like that, is really a helpful thing, doing these different Brahma Viharas. Or doing something maybe that sounds a little bit like what Cole was talking about, where you have one person and you start out offering metta, and then as you reflect on different aspects of your life, you might switch to compassion phrase, to a mudita phrase, just to fit what's actually going on with them. That can be another really nice way to practice. And you don't have to use the phrases either. You might just picture that person and have a feeling of metta or compassion without any words. But in addition to doing a certain set time for formal practice, another way to do this is to just maybe take a little bit of time before you start your Vipassana practice and do some metta, to help settle your mind and kind of get a vibe of kindness going before you even start. Or end your practice session that way by offering metta to all beings. Those are also really good alternatives. And then another way to practice that we sort of did during the walking practice is a much more informal practice. You know, something like, as was suggested before, you know, just taking a walk and wishing well in your mind to whatever beings come along. Or just really noticing as you go through your day, when does loving kindness come up? And actually taking time to know that kind of that emotion is there, or compassion, or joy, paying attention to them as they arise normally in your daily life. That's a really good thing to encourage that kind of mind state, and to recognize that you really have the capacity for that mind state, and that's really important. Or with the equanimity, as I was mentioning before, it can be really nice to use one or two phrases when you're in a difficult place to remind yourself, okay, it's like this right now, it's difficult, let me breathe, let me pause, let me just be with this until I feel calm enough to do the action that maybe is appropriate, or maybe not do any action, really, because this is just gonna pass away. And it's important too that to remember that even if you don't feel anything right at the time, that's okay. you can continue to do the practice. If you're using phrases and you're repeating the phrases, it's still helping to calm the mind and develop concentration. And then, you know, the feeling of metta or whatever, it may come. So just because you don't feel like you think what you think you should feel, don't feel like you're doing it wrong. And, you know, that sort of goes on to say, you know, it doesn't have to be perfect. It's never going to be perfect. I mean, if we could be perfect in these practices, we wouldn't have to practice them. I mean, we'd already be there. So, you know, we wouldn't need to cultivate these kind of mind states. And, you know, it's hard. There's a reason why we're supposed to start with easy beings, because it's not easy. It's not easy. So we all struggle. You know, it's very difficult to wish well to someone that you don't like or who has harmed you. And it might take a long time to get there, and maybe you'll get to a point where it's just simply, I don't wish you ill. And that in itself is pretty good. So if what arises is the near enemy or the far enemy instead of the Brahma-Vihara, there's nothing wrong with that. And in fact, in a way, when those kind of things come up, it shows that the practice is working. Because one of the things I've been told is that these Brahma-Viharas are purification practices. So when you do them and these things come up that are like, wow, this isn't what I was supposed to feel, it's sort of bringing to the surface maybe all of these places where we're stuck or having difficulty that we haven't wanted to think about. And it brings them up in a way that, okay, now I understand this. Now I can look at it. I know for myself, I had a really hard time with metta practice when I was first introduced to it, because I kept getting these feelings of, I'm not loving enough, I'm not kind enough, I'm not doing enough, you know, and it was just really, really difficult. But it actually was really good, because it showed me those kinds of feelings that I had about myself. And gradually, after a while, one day I was doing the practice and offering metta to a family member and a mentor. And I thought, well, wait a minute, you know, I really do feel a lot of metta for these people. And I really do wish them well. So all of this stuff about, oh, I just am not kind enough and stuff, well, not really true. That capacity is there. And yes, it was hard for some beings, but it's hard for some beings for everybody. So, you know, when difficult stuff comes up, a lot of times it means the practice is actually working, and so it's bringing things to the surface so you can see them. And also important to remember, too, it's mostly about cultivating these mind states in your own heart and mind. Not so much about making things happen. So, you know, it's not an affirmation like, may my friend be happy and be well. They may benefit, you know, there may be ways in which your metta affects them that we don't understand, but it's not to be practiced with an eye to results except to the sense of cultivating in our own hearts. And also, I think this was, I don't remember, was it Lauren mentioned this, I think, already, or maybe Suze, I don't remember. But it's important, too, to remember that these are really skillful means when we're in a difficult place or in a lot of pain. Offering metta or compassion to ourselves can be a very, very good and skillful and helpful thing to do to help us to get some stability. But at the same time, if something painful comes up, it's not a good idea to just boom, ooh, I don't want to look at that, I'm going to rush to metta, you know. Take some time to be with what's difficult. Stay with it if you're able to. So it's not a practice that you use to avoid investigating dukkha. It's more of a skillful means to really help you be with what's difficult when you feel like you're overwhelmed and it's too much. And then you can come back and see it clearly. So those are just some thoughts about these practices to kind of leave you with as you bring them back home to work with in your own lives.